Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Jim. It's one of my favorite songs right there. One of them. I've got many. Yeah. If you've been saved this morning, you've been in the presence of Jehovah. If you're not aware of that is the name of God. God's name is Jehovah. Do you know what Jehovah means? I am. It means I am. You know what that means? I exist. And He will never cease to exist. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the self-existing one. He is Jehovah the Great I Am. And His presence through His Holy Spirit is with us today. Whew. Man. I know. Turn to Acts chapter 14. And then back into our series of the Acts of the First Church. We're going to read verses 8 through 20. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts 14, begin reading in verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Lord, help me to preach your word. May I be able to present you and your word with your Holy Spirit today. May people not hear what I would have to say, but what you would have them to hear, Lord. And I pray that if there be one that's lost here this morning, that today will be their day of salvation. And I pray for those who are here who are saved, but they've got things in their life that are hardening for them, and maybe even, Lord, their walk with you is not where it should be. And I pray that today they would renew that walk with you, that it might be closer than it's ever been before. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May you be seated. The Acts of the First Church, idolatry in Lystra. The last time we were in the study, we discovered where Paul and Barnabas fled Iconium because of the result from half of the city. Today, we will see what happened at their next stop. They went right on to Lystra. Just remember, for many people, giving up their past lifestyle can be difficult. Giving up their past lifestyle can be difficult. My first point this morning is the healing. The healing. We see that in verses 8 through 10. In verse 8, we see where there was a man who had never ever been able to walk at all. The writer of Acts here in verse 8 says, And there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, that means not able to use, being a cripple from his mother's womb, that means he was born this way, his feet, not his legs, but his feet were never, ever, ever, ever able to walk. And on top of all that, the writer says, who never had walked. Do you get the point here? Do you get the point? He can't walk. He's never been able to walk. And the part of his body that's crippled is his feet. Not his legs, but his feet. Well, guess what? It's kind of hard to walk without your feet. You know, some people, you know, they'll have a peg leg or something like that. And that's not the same thing as an artificial limb. It's not very easy to walk, is it? Well, this man, who knows what was wrong with his feet, but it was pretty much curled up. Not able to use it at all. But we do see in verse 9, he came to hear Paul preach. How he got to this destination is unknown. Perhaps someone brought him. Maybe he walked on the sands. The man had determination. While Paul spoke, his eyes fell on the crippled man. Perhaps the Holy Spirit brought this man to Paul's attention. Or perhaps Paul noticed him because he stood out in the crowd. Paul, as the Bible says here, was steadfastly beholding him. And that means he intently or earnestly was looking on or at the lame man. Now, whether or not the lame man had heard of the miracles that Paul had performed, the text does imply that this man had a faith to know the power of which Paul spoke. And that could make a difference in his life. Paul perceived that this man had incipient, convincing faith, faith to believe and faith to receive healing. Paul's heart was drawn to him, and the healing of this man may have been the open door that Paul needed for the people of this own town and region to receive the message. Now, we do know that from the Bible that Paul had the gift of, and so did Peter, for example, the ability to perceive the hearts and the thoughts of people. You remember with Peter, and you had Ananias and Sapphira, who conspired together. No one knew about it, they thought, about lying to the church and to God. God knew. God revealed that to Peter. And when he came in, he said, why have you lied to who? Not to me, but to the Holy Ghost. He fell down dead. Sapphira didn't know what was going on. They went out and buried him the same day. And she came back in and was trying to find her husband. He said, tell me what happened. And she told the same lie that he did. He said, behold, the men that have carried your husband out are here to carry you out because you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And she fell down dead. How did Peter know it? Because God gave him the ability of doing that and revealed it to him. Well, Paul had the same ability. All right, the same gift of knowing that. And he's preaching. Now, Paul and Barnabas were consistent. They'd make a difference in the city. Sometimes they'd get thrown out. Sometimes they were kicked out. Sometimes they were left for dead. Sometimes they just left. They stirred up a hornet's nest wherever they went. You say, that doesn't sound too good. You know why that doesn't sound too good? It's because we live in a society that doesn't like controversy. They don't. People don't like controversy. Then why in the world are people being controversial all the time? Yeah, because people want it their way. I don't like controversy. You try to talk to someone about the Lord, man, they just get all kind of antsy. It's controversial. But yet, what really is controversial that goes against the norm is what our society dictates what is right. That's controversy right there. Saying that it's okay. Society says it's okay to abort babies. Society says it's okay to be homosexual. Society says that there are multiple genders now. Hogwash. I mean, the list is endless. and you want to buck the system. He said, oh, that's controversy. I don't like it. Let me tell you, Paul and Barnabas were, they bucked the system, okay? They went in and they just preached Jesus and him crucified and risen again. And through him was eternal life, and through him only. Boy, that stirred a bunch of people up. But people still wouldn't listen to him. It's amazing. I have yet to figure it out. But if you put a guy out in the streets saying something, there'll be people listening to me, whether he's right or wrong. I never forget when I was at Southern Arkansas University, but twice, I don't know what this guy was. I really have no idea. I know what his intent was. His intent was to stir up trouble. That's really his intent. And I never forget. The way he and his wife dressed, it looked like Mennonites. But he didn't preach Mennonite doctrine. But he walked onto campus and he just pick a spot and he would start preaching. It was all heresy, every bit of it. But there was a crowd together, and yeah, people were getting fighting mad now. Fighting mad. I mean, they were literally ready to kill him. That's how mad he was making. And then people going to classes, and they were just all mad and mad and mad. I'm like, this guy's doing so much harm to the gospel right now. But even saved people were going by listening to him and getting mad and mad and mad. Let me tell you, the Word of God is meant to get to your hearts, but it's not made to make you mad. If you're mad at the presentation of the gospel, the truth, it's because you don't want it for some reason. But if you're mad because someone's preaching heresy, that's a righteous anger. All right? But it only proves that there are lots of people in this world that believe heresy and will fight for that heresy too. We're going to be attacked from the enemy all the time. That's why you need to have on the full armor of God. Now, I'm not going to play it for you, but at the Texarkana Baptist Children's Home here a couple weeks ago, they had a message left on their answering machine. This is public knowledge. If they didn't want it told, I guess they shouldn't have told me. I don't know. They didn't say not tell it, but I listened to the recording, and I was like, wow, what compassion. This lady who did not leave her name, imagine that, said, I'm going to warn you, this is how she starts off, I'm going to warn you that I'm an ordained servant of God, and I'm here to warn you, how dare you teach those little children about God when you know nothing about God? How can you say that Baptists are going to go to heaven? There's not going to be a Baptist in heaven. Only someone who's a Church of Christ is going to go to heaven. Said, how dare you preach them once saved, always saved? How do you even get that? If you were in Sunday school this morning, you know why we get that. How dare you preach that you pray a sinner's prayer? There's no way that's possible unless you're a member of the Church of Christ. How dare you? You're all going to burn in the flames of eternal hell. Click. I was like, what compassion felt from that person. What love. Let me tell you something, guys. There are people that believe the heresy in which they are taught just as much as we believe the truth in which we are taught. But the problem is that they don't mind spreading that heresy, especially to those who would preach against it. Paul and Barnabas had to face that, just like we do, only it's a little more severe in their case. They were hated for preaching the gospel from those who should have known better. But Paul, he's here preaching to this crowd. Who knows why they came? Probably because Paul was a great speaker. He had a way with words. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now, he was a Pharisee. He was a lawyer, not like the kind that we think of, but he knew the law forwards and backwards. He was able to debate with the best of them and win most arguments. He had a way with words. You don't believe me? Read half a New Testament and you'll see it. The way he had with words. You want simplicity from the writers of the New Testament? Go to John. Simple, ordinary man. He was a fisherman. His words were simple. When he wrote the book of John, he wrote the book of Revelation. You say, Revelation, not too simple. Well, that's a different story for another day. When you get to things like 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, all things written by Paul, man, the wording in there is just, it's wordy, but it's very detailed. That was Paul. He was captivating people's attention when he was presenting the gospel. And somehow this guy, for whatever reason, came to hear him. I personally believe the Holy Spirit led him here. And he's believing everything Paul is saying. He's got his attention, and Paul realizes it. Dr. Albert Garner wrote, the implication of the language here used is that this infirm man implicitly believed that Jesus was the Redeemer and Savior he needed, and that these ambassador missionaries of God could also heal him, and he expected and in faith desired that they do so. Verse 10, Paul commanded the man to stand on his feet. The man had never stood or walked in his day in his life. He never walked or stood upright on his own his entire life. But Paul said, stand up. This day, however, he jumped or leapt, as the Bible says, and he walked. Can you just imagine? Man, not even knowing what it's like. Now, some people who lose strength in their feet miss the ability to walk, but they remember what it's like. This man had never known that in his life. I don't know if y'all have seen the pictures or videos that's floating around about, there's, I don't know what they're called, and if you're in the medical field, you probably know what it is. There's these special kind of glasses you can get for someone who's colorblind. I mean legit colorblind. That corrects it. Yeah. It corrects it, and they can see normal colors like most people can. I've seen several videos of kids and adults who have legit color blindness. They only see certain colors. And they put on the glasses, and tears are coming down their face because they see just how beautiful God's creation is. Yeah, stuff we take for granted. We really do. This man, but they had never known what true colors looked like. This man had never known what it was like to even stand, walk, or jump. And he did every bit of that just like that. It was a miracle is what happened. It wasn't a gradual thing that took place. It was immediate. He stood, he leapt, and he walked. Well, what happened was not the intent. My next point is the false worship, verses 11 through 18. In verse 11, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. See, a problem occurred over this healing. Number one, the people began to call Paul and Barnabas gods. That's a problem. They missed the whole point immediately when this happened. They went back to what they had been taught all their lives. That's what people do. Okay? Whether they're right or wrong, when something happens dramatically in their life, they fall back to what they know. Unless there's a strong urging or correction at that point. See, that's why it's so important from when, well, I will say young churches are starting off. When that happens, it's very important that they are grounded in the truth. Because you've got so many new converts that will fall back to what, who knows what they've been taught all their life, or what they don't even know. They'll fall back to something to process the understanding of what's going on. These people, number two, they were polytheistic. What does that mean? That means they believed in many gods. And they were a society of Roman or Greek influence. Paul and Barnabas would and did not want this. You see, in the Roman mythology copied the Greek mythology. Okay? Most of their stories are the exact same as the Greek stories, only they changed the names of the characters involved. However, they still believed in all these gods and goddesses. I mean, they've been taught that all their life. Verse 12, they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercury. Jupiter was the king of the Roman gods. Zeus was his Greek counterpart. James Floyd said, there has been a temple to Zeus found in archaeological excavations in Lystra. So there is proof that they believed in Zeus or Jupiter, same person, one's Roman, one's Greek, and their culture. You see, they probably called Barnabas this because he didn't say much, but he still performed miracles just like Paul. In their culture, Jupiter or Zeus, the king of the gods. He was actually a ruthless character, by the way. If you study the stories about him, he was very, very, very faithful to his wife, Hera. I think it was June in Roman mythology. But had the power of thunder and lightning and controlled the floods and the rains. And some, most of the time, he didn't even halfway care about humanity. All he cared about was cheating on his wife and his own pleasures. And they attached that to Barnabas. No wonder they didn't want to be called that. Well, the real reason is because they didn't want to be worshipped. Mercurius is Latin for Mercury. He was the Roman adaptation of the Greek god Hermes and took on many of his characteristics. Mercury's image was that of a man wearing wing shoes and a wing cap, carrying a herald staff with two entwined snakes, which was Apollo's gift to him. He was the messenger of the gods and a direct tie to the underworld. Hermes, or Mercury, was typically seen as delivering messages from the gods. This is probably why they called Paul this, and probably because he was a good speaker. Oh, man, that guy is a great speaker. He's doing all these great things. He made a man walk. Oh, that must be Mercury. Well, then, if he's a messenger of the gods, then that guy, well, he must be Jupiter or Zeus one. Has to be. Because no man can do these things. Well, it got worse. I mean, the problems just escalated from there. Verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people. The priest of Jupiter or Zeus prepared sacrifices for Barnabas. They were so happy, the people of the city and the priest especially, that their god of their city had come to visit them. And in just about every Roman or Greek city, there was a central temple designed for a certain god or goddess of that city. When I was in Israel, we went to the Roman city, or it was actually a Greek city before that, of Beth Shan. And there was a temple there to Aphrodite. Not Aphrodite. It was whatever the goddess is of commerce, because she brings good luck. And that's what they wanted for the city, was good luck. And if you go to a different Roman or Greek city, there would be a god or goddess of that city where they would focus on that one, even though they believe in all of them. Well, the god of their city was Zeus, or Jupiter, and he'd come down to visit them. Well, let's do sacrifices unto Zeus or to Jupiter. They had no clue. No clue. Verses 14 through 17, Paul and Barnabas strongly discouraged this. You know what, guys? I can actually see this unfolding. I can. You go in with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're all pumped up, ready to present the Word of God, and you preach. You're doing so great. And then all of a sudden, something goes wrong. And it just, it's getting way out of control and way out of hand. They never, ever wanted them to worship the gods and goddesses to begin with. And they're trying to help them come to God and come to Jesus. And by doing God's work, people are still flocking to this heresy. And now they're wanting to worship Paul and Barnabas. Up come the priest of Jupiter with all these garlands of beautiful things to put on the sacrifices as pretty ornaments and thank them for coming down and being with those men. And they're fixing to sacrifice those animals to Barnabas. It's just, I can just see their faces going, what happened? What happened was is that they were so grounded in what they were taught, and you had Satan influencing them as well. So as a result, Paul and Barnabas, they tore their clothes, and that, by the way, is symbolic of the separation of the sacrifices. And they went out and cried to the people, please stop, please stop. Please, oh, please stop. They quickly told them that they were normal men. Just like they were. I'm human, just like you are. I'm a normal man. And that's what said, there was only one true God. There was no Zeus. There was no Hermes. There was no Jupiter, no Mercury. There was no other God except one. His name is Jehovah, the great I Am. And He is the one who provided their rain. And He is the one who blessed their crops. He is the one that is giving them life. And He is the one that can give them eternal life. Please stop. Please, oh please stop. Worship God, the one and only God, and not us. It was Him and Him who only provided for all. In verse 18, we see where they could barely restrain the crowd to stop the actions. Oh, it was stopped, but they could barely stop them. Man. Well, guys, it just got worse from there. My last point this morning is the revolt. The revolt, verses 19 and 20. They managed to stop the false worship, but the people were embarrassed and did not do so happily. Can you just imagine? I mean, I don't know if you... I know I'm not the only one in this room that's ever been embarrassed before. Okay? Especially when you think something is so right, and then you find out the hard way that it was very wrong. It's embarrassing. Well, some people don't take to get embarrassed too kindly. All right, and they didn't. And then it gets even worse from there, guys. Satan attacked very harshly. You see, Jews from Antioch and Pisidia and also of Iconium came to the city. Now, I have no idea why they were there, but I think they were under the influence of Satan in all seriousness. These same Jews were the same ones who didn't like Paul and probably helped get rid of him out of their cities, of Antioch out of Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium. Probably the same ones. And they found an easy opportunity right here to latch onto the hurtful feelings of these people and create a mob to stone Paul to death. I don't know if you've ever studied people, but this is how mobs get started. This is how mobs of people break out. You attach to their hurt feelings, or you cause feelings to be hurt, and you grow them from there. And when that happens, the anger in people come out, and the mob is formed. That's how people form mobs even today. They're offended for whatever reason, and somebody or some group of people comes along and fuels that fire. And from there, it just escalates. Well, for whatever reason, and again, I believe it was in the influence of Satan, these Jews from the two places where Paul and Barnabas were kicked out had come to the same city where Paul and Barnabas was. I don't believe in coincidence at all. And they said, "Oh, Paul and Barnabas are here. Ah, we can kill him this time." And y'all, when they stirred up the hurtful feelings of these people of the city, the mob came together and they stoned Paul, and they thought that they had killed him. How do we know that? Verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people." You see that? They persuaded the people. "And having stoned Paul," which means they actually did stone him, "drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead." You can tell this wasn't a Jewish city. They didn't take him outside the city until after he was stoned. And they thought he was dead. And they drug his body outside of the city and left it there at the gate. Didn't even try to bury him. Had a funeral. That's how little they thought of him. And it was also a warning to whoever else wanted to come to the city to do the same thing. But something happened. Paul didn't die. Some people say, well, he just faked his death. I don't know. Yeah, some say, I would have. Pretend I'd been dead. You get cocked up, you know, knocked upside your head, you get out. I mean, you're unconscious. And some people can get to such a point they're barely breathing and they don't realize that they're alive. I don't know. Maybe Paul did fake it. I don't know. But they thought he was dead, drug him out, and then the Bible says in verse 20, howbeit, that means however, in addition, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Who were these disciples? The disciples that converted there in that city of Lystra. Those that got saved were standing around Paul. Who knows what was going through the mind? They might have thought, what are we going to do? The man told us about the Lord is now dead. Or, is he dead? For whatever reason, they had compassion on Paul. And maybe he came too. Maybe the Lord healed him. I don't know. But what the Bible says is that as they were standing around him, he stood up. And what did he do next? He went back into the city. I don't know if I had done that or not. On my flesh, I would not have. But with the Spirit of God's help, I hope that I would have. But notice, he went back into the city. Y'all, that takes love. Love. You say, well, that takes strength too. Absolutely. But if you don't have love, you wouldn't do that. Why did he go back into the city? Because he loved those people. And he also had an example from Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whew. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he asked for God to forgive those people who killed him. And so guess what? Brother and sister in Christ, from those who would hate us, desire to hurt us and kill us, we're to love them. Because why? They still need Jesus. Now the next day, Barnabas and Paul went on to Derbe. And guess what they did? They went and preached Jesus. Now, I'm not going to lie. I don't have a heart of a job currently. Never going to say never. Currently, I don't have a heart of a job as Paul and Barnabas did. I can go and tell someone about Jesus in our country, not yet currently have to fear for my life. But I do know what it's like to be human. Now, I'm not going to lie, there are some days I want to quit. I want to crawl up under a rock and let people leave me alone. And I'm a people person, okay? I am. I'm a people person. But there's some days I'm going to move into a deserted island where nobody can ever bug me ever again. But then I remember Jesus. Then I remember Jesus and what he did for me and what he wants me to do. And I quickly get out of my selfish stage. I come into the presence of Jehovah and all my cares just go away. They do, y'all. That's how Paul and Barnabas were able to go on to the next city, and the next city, and the next city, and the next city. Many of us, in those cases, would have been like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. It's not worth my life. It's not worth the life of my friend and companion. It's not worth it. They don't want to listen. They want to kill us. Done. I'm done, Lord. But just like Paul and Barnabas, we need to remember Jesus and what he did. Do you remember the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus prayed for the cup of his suffering that he wouldn't have to take it. But it was the Lord's will that he would go through all that. Y'all, had Jesus not gone through all that, we would have absolutely no hope at all here this morning. We'd go home and get ready to die and go to hell. But because Jesus took that cup, he went through the suffering, and he was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, and then rose again the third day, hallelujah, we have eternal life through him. But y'all, if we don't tell others about Jesus, guess what? The enemies will tell about him and it'll be all wrong. And they'll remain lost. The enemies came in and stirred up the city. They were just attacks of Satan. I know this sounds so weird. But y'all, it can get discouraging when you're under the attacks of Satan. But if you allow the Holy Spirit, you can rejoice in it too. You know why? Because why would they be attacking you? Because God because of God, and you're doing what He wants you to do. Remember, Jesus said that the world hated Him first. And so that means they're going to hate you as well. And that would discourage a lot of people from doing such. But y'all, it encourages me. There's coming a day, I really believe, here in our own country, because I can already see it unfolding, where this right here will be illegal. This will be illegal. Coming together to worship God. It may or may not happen in our lifetime, but I can see it happening. The way things are unfolding. Take advantage of it while we got it. Because there may come a day where I'll be arrested or killed for preaching about Jesus. And you can do the same thing. Take advantage of it now while there's still time. Or, better yet, become the great influence if that never happens. Better yet. Don't give up. In fact, why don't you just start trying? Some people never even start trying. You know what I hear so often from little kids, especially? Holding right now. I can't. I can't do it. I just can't. No, you don't want to. That's the problem. We who are saved here this morning should desire to not only get closer to God, but to become better servants of God by learning His Word, following His Word, and bringing others into the fold of God. That is what our desire needs to be this morning. I hope and I pray that each and every one of you are saved here this morning and would have that desire. But if you're lost this morning, guess what? I got good news and bad news. The bad news is that if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no hope for you currently. But the good news is that Jesus Christ gave His life for you that you might make the decision to believe in Him and be saved and have eternal life. But it's your decision. I can't force you. Nobody can force you. Not even God can force you. You are the one who has to make that decision. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, I thank You for these examples and lessons from Your Word. May we all be encouraged greatly from Your Word and Your Holy Spirit to live our lives for You no matter what. To draw closer to You, no matter what. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to live our lives that way. That we won't care what people think about us. We won't care what people would say about us when we're doing the right thing. And that when the attacks of the enemy come, that we'll be encouraged. Keep on, keep it on for You, Lord. And for those who are lost this morning, may they make the decision right now, Lord, to believe in You. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? What shall we